Hi, this is Rob Reno with Visionary Parenting. The message you're about to listen to is the second of a four-part series entitled Father and Son Together. You can get more parenting resources at visionaryparenting.com.
Anybody here, raise your hand if you've got a perfect family. Oh, good. Two of you. Thank you. Glad to hear. You should come on up and talk then. Any father-sons here that you would say, we have a perfect relationship. Nothing's ever happened bad between us. Nobody again, huh? You know why that is? It's because of a little three-letter word that starts with S. Anybody know what that little three-letter word is? Yeah? It's sin. What sin is sin is the bad stuff that we do, the wrong things that we do, when we disobey God, when we hurt other people. We even got to see Larry, right, was having a real hard time understanding how he hurt his sister with his rude behavior. But the reality is every single one of us do things that are wrong. We all hurt each other. You cannot be close to somebody without getting hurt. It's impossible. And you can't have someone be close to you without them getting hurt. It's absolutely impossible because each one of us has issues with sin. Each one of us has problems with character. And the truth is that the closer a person is to you, the more they can hurt you and the more you can hurt them. Which is why the relationships that we have in our family are the relationships that are the most intense, the most hot, the relationships that can bless us the most, but also the relationships that can hurt us the most, because there's nobody that is as close as the people at home. So how many of you dads, I want you to raise your hand, how many of you dads have ever done anything that's hurt your son's feelings? Put your hand up. Shocking, huh? All right, boys, your turn. How many of you sons have ever done anything that's hurt your dad's feelings? Raise your hand. Wow, look at that. All right, between those two questions, we got everybody. And I've got some great news this morning that God's given us an answer to this. God's given us a cure for what happens when we get hurt, for bitterness, for anger, for hatred. Does anybody know what God's cure, what the power tool is that God gave us to deal with hurt? Forgiveness. Absolutely. You guys are geniuses. If you know how to use this power tool of forgiveness, you have the opportunity and the chance to have an unbelievably wonderful lifelong relationship as father and son. And I'll tell you straight up right now, if you don't know how to use this tool, sons, if you don't know how to forgive your fathers, fathers, if you don't know how to forgive your sons, you have to know that there is no chance, zero chance, of you having the kind of close relationship that you want to have. It's just not possible. So I want to talk to you about this from the Bible through a true story in the Old Testament that doesn't get talked about very much. But it's the story of King David and a little guy named Shimei. If you brought your Bibles with you, I want you to go to 2 Samuel chapter 16, starting in verse 5. 2 Samuel chapter 16, starting in verse 5. I'm going to need some help from the audience on this here, so bear with me. But let me set the stage. David's son, here's what's happening in history. King David, this is happening about 1000 BC. King David's son, Absalom, has decided that he's going to revolt against his dad. And he wants to take over his father's throne, and he's going to do it by force. He's gotten guys together who are going to fight for him, and he's literally going to bust into Jerusalem and try to take the throne from his dad. It's so bad that King David has to flee. He has to run away from Jerusalem so that his own son doesn't come to kill him or capture him. So I'm going to need some help. I need a King David. I need a King David. Young man in the... Now, some of these are speaking lines, so you need to be prepared. You ready for a young man in the red? Are you ready for a speaking line? Come on up. You're King David. Okay. I need a Shimei. Young man in the orange right back there, please. And then I need a guy who's really, somebody who's really tough. You're going to be Abishai. You're going to be a tough guy. You're going to be tough for me? You promise? This is serious stuff. Hey, come on up. I now need a couple just strong, silent types. You don't need to say anything, but I need you to act kind of tough. Okay? RW and young man right back there for me. There you go. Okay. So where's King David? King David, raise your hand, please. Very good. Shimei, thank you. Abishai, you are the like right-hand man to the king, okay, right here. You strong, silent types, you're like the king's servants, helpers, guards, etc. Don't worry, you don't have to say anything. All right, now Shimei, I need you actually to kind of go down here because you come into the story in a little while. All right, good. Okay, let me see what I need to do. I'm going to move myself over here because I'm sort of the narrator for the story. I'm going to read the story from the Bible. And at different times, I'm going to say, King David said such and such. And at that point, King David, you will say, such and such, or whatever I say. Just repeat what I say. You got it? And if I say that Abishai does something, then Abishai has to do it. If I say Shimei does something, Shimei has to do it. You with me? No, good. Okay. This is a critical operation here, please. So let's do this. Let's have Jerusalem be on this side of the stage. This is where we're going to start our journey. And Bahurim is on that side of the stage. So you guys are going to be, King David, you're ready to escape from Jerusalem. Abishai, you are the guard. You are the right-hand man here. Must protect king at all costs. Yes? Very good. Okay, here we are. Okay, and Bahurim's over there. So you begin your journey. As King David went toward Bahurim, very good. A man from the same clan as Saul's family came out from there, and his name was Shimei, son of Gera, and he cursed as he came out. Now, time out. Christian retreat. So you can sort of mutter under your breath, or you know what I mean, anything like that. But you're very angry, but we're going to leave the real profanity back in the Bible, okay? All right? So come on out. All right. Now, audience, Shimei is from Saul's family. What might that tell us about how he feels about King David? Not a big fan, right? Not a big fan. So he's already set up. Okay. Shimei, you're cursing as you come out. Very good. All right. Shimei pelted David and all the king's officials with stones, even though the troops and the special guard were on David's right and left. As he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you man of blood. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul. The Lord has handed the kingdom over to your son Absalom. You have come to ruin because you are a man of blood. Then Abishai, one of David's servants, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse you, my lord the king?" You're talking to the king now. Almost. We're not quite there yet. David is still living. Abishai continued, "Let me go over and cut off his head." Now down to verse 11. David then said to Abishai and all his officials, ready, David? Now you're announcing this to everyone, okay? "My son Absalom, who is of my own flesh, is trying to take my life. How much more this Benjamite?" Translation. Look, guys, my own son wants to kill me. Why am I going to be worried and concerned if this poor little idiot Shimei wants to take my life too? I'm King David. This guy's a pipsqueak, and I'm not going to worry about him. David continued, "Leave him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will see my distress and repay me with good for the cursing I'm receiving today." So you see, kind-hearted King David preaches this nice little sermon to his men, right? "Lord, I'm just going to take the high road here. I'm just going to endure this pain and insult. And maybe, oh, gracious God, you'll be kind to me because of what a great guy I am." Okay, here we go. So David and his men continued along the road while Shimei was walking along the hillside opposite them, cursing as he went and throwing stones at them, showering them with dirt. And the king finally arrived at his destination, rested and refreshed himself. Okay. Are you guys resting and refreshing yourselves? Very good. So kind-hearted King David endures the horrible insults from Shimei, gets to Bahurim and rests. History moves forward. The revolt from Absalom is quenched. It's now safe for King David to return home from Bahurim, back to Jerusalem. So we're going to pick up the story in 2 Samuel chapter 19. King David and his men were returning to Jerusalem. Thank you. Now the men of Judah had come to Gilgal to go out and meet the king and bring him across the Jordan. Shimei hurried down with the men of Judah to meet King David. When Shimei, son of Gera, crossed the Jordan, he fell on his face before the king. And he said to him, "May my Lord not hold me guilty? Please forget how your servant did you wrong. On the day my Lord, the king, left Jerusalem, may the king just put it out of his mind. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. And I have come down to greet you this day." Then Abishai said, "Shouldn't Shimei be put to death for this?" He cursed the king. David replied to Abishai, What do you and I have in common? This day you've become my adversary. Should anyone be put to death in Israel today? Do I not know that I am the king?" So the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." And the king promised him an oath. Thank our volunteers, guys. Thank you, gentlemen. Excellent, excellent work. So once again, we find David, the generous, kind-hearted, gracious king. I mean, Abishai's ready to chop off the guy's head again, right? And King David, the gracious king, says he takes the high road. He's not going to be easily offended by the insults that have been heaped upon him. And he makes a promise to him. And his promise is, "I won't kill you." Now, it would be really nice if that was the end of the story. But it's not. We hear about Shimei again when David is on his deathbed. If you have your Bibles, go forward to 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. David is on his deathbed and he is going to give his final instructions to his son Solomon. I want to read to you what David says. It says, "When the time drew near for David to die, he gave charge to Solomon his son. He says, 'I'm about to go the way of all the earth.'" In other words, "I'm about to die, son. So be strong. Show yourself a man and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants will watch how they live, if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, then you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel." Wouldn't it be cool if fathers said something like that to us as their final words? I mean, a rich spiritual blessing and encouragement like that. If only those were David's last words. You want to hear David's last words? Verse 8. "And remember, Solomon, you have with you Shimei, who called down bitter curses on me the day I went to Mahanaim. When he came down to meet me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, 'I will not put you to death by the sword.' But now, my son, do not consider him innocent. You're a man of wisdom. You'll know what to do to him. I want you to drag his bloody gray beard to the ground." Then King David died and rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. Guys, you then read on to find that one of Solomon's first acts as king is to drag Shimei's bloody gray beard to the ground. David's last words, his last thoughts on his deathbed, he's thinking about this guy. This guy that hurt him, this guy that insulted him, this guy that mocked him. There's a lot of great, good, wonderful stuff in David's life. The Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. But this part of his life is not one of those parts. His last words are filled with vengeance, filled with retribution, bitterness, unforgiveness, violence. Now, when this thing all happened, he looked like a very gracious, forgiving guy, didn't he? He was taking the high road. He would say, look, guys, this is no big deal. But it was a big deal. And David didn't deal with it in his heart, and he didn't deal with it before God. He had unforgiveness in his heart toward this guy, and it followed him all the way to his deathbed. And gentlemen, we do many times what David did with this hurt that he got from Shimei. And guys, men, we use this phrase, I think, more than women. Somebody hurts us. Somebody upsets us. Maybe dad does something to hurt us. Maybe our sons do something to hurt us. We use this phrase. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. Raise your hand if you've ever said that before after something bad's happened to you. It's no big deal. And that's a way that we as guys say, look, I'm going to take the high road. I'm not going to deal with this. I'm just going to put this behind me. But the Bible's got a lot to say, warning us against when someone hurts us, especially when someone in our family hurts us, against saying it's no big deal. Look at this passage in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. It says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many. You see, guys, when somebody does something that hurts us, fathers, when your son does something that hurts you, sons, Fathers, when your sons does something to hurt you, sons, when your father does something to hurt you, what the enemy wants to do is to take that hurt and to plant a seed of bitterness in your heart. And time makes the bitterness grow. Time makes the bitterness grow. It sprouts roots, and then it does what it says here in Hebrews, is that it grows up to cause trouble in our lives, and it actually spreads to the lives of the people around us. Now, God's using an analogy here for how plants grow, trees grow. Let me show you a picture. This is the fastest growing tree in the world. It is called, not necessarily the tallest tree, it's just the fastest growing. It's called the Albizia falcata, and it grows over in Malaysia. It's part of the bamboo family. And you take a seed for the Albizia falcata, you plant it in the ground, and you water it for a whole year, and what happens? Actually, it doesn't grow like that. Nothing happens. And you water it for a whole second year. What happens? Nothing. Third year. Nothing. Fourth year. Nothing. Fifth year. Nothing. Actually, something does happen the fifth year. In the fifth year, the tree grows 30 feet in 1 month. A foot a day. Now they say, I have not been there, but they say you can hear it grow. That it, and it creaks and it cracks as it grows. Now, what do you think? Hopefully you didn't like forget about your tree and like build your gazebo there, okay? Because that would be a bad plan. But what do you think is happening? Do you really think nothing is happening those first 4+ years? What do you think is happening? Yeah, the roots are growing. And not just growing a little. This seed is sending out roots hundreds of feet in all directions. It's gathering strength, it's gathering power, it's gathering nutrients, because it's getting ready to blast this thing up and out. And that's a picture of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. Unforgiveness, guys, works just like that seed. Something happens, your dad does something to hurt you, embarrass you. Sons or fathers, your son does something to hurt you, disrespect you, embarrass you, whatever it is. Seed of bitterness gets planted. We don't use the power tool of forgiveness. We say, that's no big deal. We just push past, oh, time will take care of that. Month goes by, oh, no big deal, nothing's going on. Year goes by, no big deal, nothing's going on. Folks, the roots are growing. The roots are spreading. And it isn't until a month later, 6 months later, a year later, 10 years later, that boom, bam, boom, outblasts something in our life, in our relationship, outblasts anger, outblasts abuse, outblasts abandonment. For students that are growing up, outblasts alcohol and drugs, and you name it, it can happen. And we look at that stuff and we say, well, where in the world did that come from? You know, a lot of us as dads, I know for me, I have a problem in my home with my kids going 0 to 60 with my temper and my harshness. So something can happen. I just snap and I raise my voice and I get harsh just like that. And my kids are like, whoa, dad, What's the matter? Why are you overreacting? Maybe some of you dads have heard that before. Well, usually what's happened is that little things have happened that I haven't dealt with my kids on, or I haven't worked through myself. And so I'm building up. I'm ramping up. The roots are growing. Then all of a sudden something little happens and outblast dad's anger, outblast dad's harshness. Unforgiveness. See, when somebody hurts us, there's this natural sinful response that we have where we want to hurt them back. And so maybe you can think of it, maybe you boys at school or in the neighborhood, somebody hurts you, and or maybe you hurt somebody else. You hurt their feelings. And so you're walking through the halls at school, and they give you the evil eye. They want you to know that they're mad at you. But it doesn't really work, does it? Because you're like, you're weird. Why are you looking at me like that? And so look, this little cloud is following them around because they're hurt. When we get hurt, we want to hurt the person back. And so it's like you take a grenade and you pull the pin and you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. And you try to throw it at the person, but it sticks to your hand and you can't throw it. And who does it go off on? It goes off on us. When we hold on to bitterness, anger, and resentment, we're the ones who pay the price. Or it's like a boomerang. See this guy throwing his boomerang? You want to hurt somebody with that boomerang, and so you chuck it at him, and what does it do? Thoop, 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 thoop. It comes right back, and it hurts us. The reason why the Bible takes this stuff so seriously is God knows we live in a world with sinful people. God knows we're going to get hurt. God knows we're going to get hurt by the people in our families the most, because they're the people that's closest, that we are the closest to. And he knows that if we do not choose to forgive and use this power tool of forgiveness that he's given us, then that bitterness and that hatred and that resentment that we have is going to go off, and we're going to be the ones that suffer. And you guys need to understand, and sons, I want to talk to you very specifically about this, that sons, the most important relationship that God wants to wreck in your life is your relationship with your father. There's no other relationship on planet Earth that's more important for a son than his relationship with his father. Now, you men, some of you are married. Okay, you've got an earthly relationship then that's even a higher priority than the relationship you have with your son. That would be your wife. Some of you guys aren't married and you're here with your son. Well, then your sons and your daughters then take first place in your relationships. Let me show you this passage from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, "Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Here's the picture of this verse. God says, look, I want you to take everything that you've ever done that's been a sin against God and stack it up on one side of the scale. So imagine we got these big scales up here, okay? Take every sin that you've ever done, and I want you to stack it up on this side. Every sin that you've ever committed against God, and stack it up over here. We'll do the sons first, okay? Sons, you got that? Now, sons, I want you to take everything your dad has ever done to hurt you. Times he's been harsh with you, times he's raised his voice with you, times that he's embarrassed you or whatever, and you stack that stuff over here. Dads, you do the same thing. Dads, every single sin that you've ever done over here against God, every single thing your son has ever done to hurt you, be disrespectful to you, dishonoring to you, disobedient to you, etc., stack it up over here. Which way do the scales tip? Pretty significantly over here. Would we agree? Yeah. So what God is saying is, look, I have forgiven you for all of this. I forgave you through the sacrifice of my son Jesus on the cross. I made an opportunity for you to be forgiven and to take all of that and cast it as far as the sea is, as far as the east is from the west. And so now, men, fathers and sons, I want you to forgive this. A lot of us as Christians, we really like this part, don't we? We're all excited that Jesus has forgiven all our sins. But then when it comes to, you're telling me I got to forgive him, I got to forgive her, I got to forgive them for that, we say, oh no, they don't deserve it. They haven't shown that they're sorry, they're not repentant, blah, 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 blah. The reason why we get hung up on some of this stuff is that we don't understand what forgiveness is about. And in fact, I've heard a lot of Christians talk about forgiveness, and they talk about it in a very superficial, very pat answery kind of way. They basically said, okay, I know all this stuff has happened to you, well, you just need to forgive them. You just need to forgive them. I know you're hurt. I know you're bitter. I know you're upset. I know you're resentful. Well, you need to go inside your heart and you need to just stop being hurt. Stop being bitter and stop being resentful and just let it go. Raise your hand if you ever heard anything like this. Okay? Frankly, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, we don't wake up in the morning. If we're struggling with bitterness towards somebody, we don't wake up in the morning and say, oh, it's a beautiful day. Okay, I'm going to be bitter at that person today. That's my plan. And we flip the bitterness switch on. And we choose it. Nobody does that. Nobody said, I'm going to be angry at my dad today. I'm going to be angry at my son today. No, that stuff is in there. If we could just fix it like that, we would. So I want to wrap up today, and I want to talk you through a biblical pattern of forgiveness for how the Bible lays this out in a way that's not only true, but in a way that works. And I'm going to be pushing you then, as we finish up here, to be wrestling through this specifically in your relationships as father and son. Because guys, again, I'll say what I said in the beginning. If you, right here in this room, fathers and sons, if you don't learn how to use this tool of forgiveness in your relationship, you cannot have a close heart-to-heart relationship. It's just not possible because you hurt each other. And if you don't know God's way of resolving the hurt, there's going to be a distance. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about three phases of forgiveness, the path to true forgiveness. Phase one, I call it forgiveness with your head. Here's what I mean by that. It's an act of your will. If God commands us to forgive, then we must have some sort of choice in the matter, right? There must be I'm willing to forgive, I'm not willing to forgive. And people get hung up on this one because they want their feelings to have everything to do with it. I don't feel like forgiving the person. The person hasn't said they're sorry. They don't deserve my forgiveness or whatever. All that stuff, all the feelings that are in the way are going to stop you from taking this first phase, this first step, which is forgiveness with your head. And here's what I really encourage you guys to do. I'm going to encourage you to focus very specifically on the relationship that you came to work on this weekend, fathers with your sons, sons with your fathers, that you ask God to show you the things that the person's done to hurt you. So sons, you pray. You say, God, please show me anything that my dad has done that's hurt me. Dads, you do the same thing. God, show me anything that's happened that my son has done that's hurt me, that's caused me to be bitter and angry toward them. I encourage you to write them down and be specific. You may start something at the top of your sheet where it says, it hurt me when, dot, dot, dot. And you may not do that right now, but you may start to jot some things down now too, that's fine. And as you write some specific things down, it hurt me when my son said this, it hurt me when my son said that, it hurt me when my dad did this, it hurt me when my dad did that. You then obey God, you grit your teeth, because remember your feelings have nothing to do with this. You grit your teeth and you pray, God, I don't want to forgive my dad for this. He hasn't said he's sorry for this. I'm still angry at him for this, but you tell me, you command me I'm supposed to forgive. So I choose right now, I choose with my head, I choose with my will to forgive my dad because I want to be obedient to you. It's a choice you make. Now, the reason why I call this a phase is because actually doing this, writing those things down, gritting your teeth and choosing to forgive, probably going to take you 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Takes some people years, though, before they're ready or willing just to do it. I'm going to push you to do it. Let me talk about phase two. Okay, grit your teeth, pray through the list. God, I choose to forgive my dad for this. I choose to forgive my dad for that. Forgiveness, phase two, forgiveness with your heart. Jesus says that not only are we supposed to forgive with our will, but God wants us to forgive with our heart. Who has the power to change hearts? Very good, Trenton. God's got the power to change hearts. And guys, I want to tell you, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah that our hearts are deceitful above all things. Who can know it? We know that the things that happen in our families that hurt us, the bitterness, resentment, anger, hostility that we have, we know that all that stuff is tied into our hearts in a very deep place, even in ways that we don't understand. And so what we do after we have chosen to forgive is we pray. We say, God, I've been obedient. I've chosen to forgive, but I cannot heal my heart. God, I give you permission to take my bitterness, my resentment, and my hatred from my heart. Now, guys, I had a long journey of forgiveness with my father that I had to go through. I'll use some euphemistic language here for the little guys. My parents got divorced when I was a sophomore in high school. The big trigger for that was the discovery of a whole series of inappropriate relationships that my dad had had as he traveled for business around the country. So the divorce was one thing for me as a young man to deal with, and it was brutal. But the discovery of all that was literally the worst thing that I've ever had to go through in my life. Now, I'm not saying that's the worst thing anybody has to go through, because some of you may be here like, man, that's nothing. Let me tell you what happened to me. But that was the worst pain that I've ever had to experience. The sense of betrayal, the sense of abandonment that I had to deal with my father was just unbelievable. And so, guys, I was in phase two for 6 years. Okay? The hatred, the bitterness, the anger, the resentment. God, I've chosen to forgive him. He hasn't said he's sorry. He hasn't repented. Blah, 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 blah. But God, I've chosen to forgive him. I don't want that seed of bitterness planted in my heart, and I don't want it to destroy me. So God, I choose to open my heart to you. I choose to allow you to take the hatred, take the bitterness. I don't want it. Every day, God, heal my heart. God, heal my heart. God, heal my heart. Lo and behold, 6 years later, I'm getting ready for classes at college. I'm shaving before class, both my facial hairs, and getting ready to go. And I'm thinking about my dad. And for the first time in my life, I was unaware of any feelings of hatred, bitterness, and anger and resentment toward him. And the only feeling I had toward my dad as I was thinking about him was a feeling of compassion toward him. God had completed that work that only he can do. I was told nothing I can do about any of that. But God can, and we have to ask him to do it. This third phase now, reconciliation. Reconciliation. This is when your relationship is healed. Who's responsible for step one? Who has to do it? We do. Who has to do step two? Whose power has to pull it off? God does. Now, I want you to think about this. Let's use my story as an example. What would have to happen for me to reconcile with my father? Who would have to do what? For the relationship to be healed. Let's say that I go through phase one and phase two. I've forgiven my father with my will. God has healed my heart. I no longer have bitterness, anger, and resentment toward him. Now, if I go to my dad and I say, Dad, I want you to know I've forgiven you. Are we reconciled? Not yet. What has to happen? He has to accept it, but he's got to do a little bit more. Okay, well, let's say I do that. Dad, I want you to know I forgave you for all this stuff you did. Are we reconciled?
No.
Something has to happen. He has to repent. He has to repent. The person who did the hurting has to come and has to say, I want you to know that I'm really sorry for what I did. What I did was wrong. I know that that hurt you. Will you please forgive me for what I did? Then the person who has forgiven them for what they've done is able to say, yes, I have forgiven you, and now I can give you that gift of forgiveness, and now you can receive it. It's like if I have a birthday present for my friend Shelton here, and I come up, Shelton, birthday present. All right? And Shelton just sits there, and he doesn't do anything. You can't force somebody to take a gift, right? They have to reach out and receive it and accept it. And the same thing is true with forgiveness. And so this is one of the hardest parts about this forgiveness process, guys, because the reality is that there may be people in our lives that we never reconcile with. You may be polite with them. You may be cordial with them. You can be totally free from whatever happened between you, but you can't control other people. And you can't control whether or not they do repent and whether they do come back and they ask for forgiveness. But you can get your heart free by the grace of God, and you can get ready for reconciliation. And so I'm going to plead with you very, very directly. And a matter of fact, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge today. Because one of the things that happens on a retreat like this is we got our Friday night session, we got our Saturday morning session, we got our Saturday night session, and then Sunday morning. And we got all these activities in the middle of our day today. And what can happen after a session like this is that God may imprint some things on your heart, that there may be some things in your relationship with your father that need to be dealt with. And you jump right out into archery, and you jump right out into the boats, and you jump right out into lunch, and then you and by the time you know it, we're back for our next session tonight. I'm going to encourage you, and sons, dads, whoever it takes to take the lead, even if you grabbed 10 minutes, even if you grabbed 15 minutes today, to just go off to a bench, go off for a walk, sit down, think this through, there may be some things that you need to ask for forgiveness for from each other. And I'm going to end with this. I'm going to give you some language right now that is going to help. Remember, it's Larry, right? Wasn't little puppet Larry before? What was he having a hard time saying? Do it like Larry did it. I'm sorry. Now, as a matter of fact, if Larry was able to say that, I want to tell you, I don't think that's enough. Because here's the way the world tells us to deal with hurt. Let's say something happens between you and your dad, you and your son. The world says, okay, here's what you do. One person say you're sorry. The other person now says, it's okay. And somehow we've just transacted and we've just worked together to resolve some hurt, et cetera, et cetera. You with me? And dads, we even do that with our kids sometimes. I got to tell you, it's a shallow and ineffective way to deal with hurt between our kids. Say you're sorry. Say it's okay. Fine. Be done. Sorry. It's okay. And just because the words came out of their mouth, we think that all of a sudden we accomplished something. But let me give you just a little bit of language for how to apologize, because it is absolutely critical. First thing you do is you say what you did. Son, I yelled at you. You say it. You confess what you did. You then say words which I think are about 1,000 times more powerful than I'm sorry. Ready for these? I was wrong. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Okay to say that. And then the million-dollar question that the Bible gives us, will you please forgive me? So confess what you did. I did this. That was wrong. Will you please forgive me? And if you can train yourselves as fathers and sons to use that language with each other instead of, I'm sorry, it's okay, you'll actually be using the tool that God gives us. And then that question of, will you please forgive me? That's a very serious question that you're asking that other person, isn't it? And if you're ready to forgive your father, or if you're ready to forgive your son for what they did, then you respond with what the Bible would give you to respond with, I forgive you. I forgive you. And what you just did at the spiritual level, at the heart level, is you resolved and you healed the hurt. You went through the forgiveness with your will, the forgiveness with your heart, and you reconciled. I'd like to ask you guys to bow your heads and to close your eyes. I'm going to give you about 60 seconds right now, because there may be some of you in this room, and men, some of the things we're talking about here, I know you're here on Father-Son Retreat, but you may be thinking about your dad. You may be thinking about your mom. Other people in your life that you need to forgive. I want you to take 30 seconds right now, 60 seconds, and you may need to do some phase one stuff. God, I choose to forgive my son for this. I choose to forgive my father for this. Take a moment right now. Pray to God. Make some choices for forgiveness. God, we come to you today, and you know the hurts that we have in our hearts and the hurts that we have in our families. You love our family so much, and you love our relationships between father and son so much, but God, we're sinful, so we hurt each other. And so often we don't deal with it. We just go on. We just say, hey, it's no big deal. We act like King David. We just sort of take the high road, and oh, everything's fine. All the while, hurt and bitterness and anger and resentment are brewing in our hearts. And I would pray for every father and son relationship in this room right now, God, that you would help us. Please help us, Lord, as we turn our hearts to each other, to do it the way you say to do it in your word when it comes to dealing with hurt, that we would quickly and easily repent to each other. I was wrong, son. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. And then, Lord, that we would be able to obey your scriptures, that we would choose to forgive, that we would open our hearts to you. I pray specifically, God, for a lot of us that have a lot of hurt from a long time ago. Maybe even things for us as men that happened when we were kids. Things that happened in our home that we haven't even forgiven yet. And as a result, they're having effects in our family now, in the way we raise our kids. Lord, please, please, please give us the grace by your Holy Spirit to forgive and set us free. We look forward to the rest of our day. We pray that you would continue to turn our hearts together. Turn the hearts of fathers to their sons and the hearts of sons to their fathers. In Jesus' name, amen.